Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hey, welcome to Lowdown. Thanks for listening in. This is the newsletter that accompanies the podcast. If you're not a subscriber yet, make sure you grab the link down below. It's absolutely free, and you can get these weekly newsletters of things that I think are interesting. They're definitely interesting to me, and I assume if you like the podcast and things we talk about, you will find it interesting. But, you know, it accompanies with pictures and videos and things like that. So check that out in the link down below, and there you go. Subscribe or don't. But if you do subscribe, make sure you look for the follow-on email, which might land in your spam. And that just confirms that you're not a North Korean hacker, albeit a North Korean hacker probably can get around it. But nonetheless, it'll make sure you're human. So if you've subscribed and you haven't gotten the newsletter yet, make sure you check your spam. Make sure you've confirmed that you actually did register for it. And then we'll be off to the races. So today we got a whole host of things. We're talking about Operation Tidal Wave, the terrorist, the billionaire terrorist that was wiped off the face of the earth. We have a U.S. Army soldier that has been convicted in Russia. Subsequently, a couple more things are happening in his U.S. Army career following that, or in conjunction with that. We got another North Korean hacker, different from last week. B-52 flying a 32-hour mission, and a lot more. So let's jump into the newsletter this week. And we're kicking it off with Operation Tidal Wave. Jumping back to August 1st, 1943, the Allies launched one of the most daring air raids of World War II. The mission was to cripple the Axis oil supply, or at least one of the largest oil refineries for the Axis, producing over 30% of their petroleum needs. This was in Romania. 178 B-24 Liberators took off. They were primarily assigned to the 9th and 15th Air Forces, and they were going out to conduct a precision strike against this refinery. Due to the precise need of it, and the technology at the time, it called for a low-altitude bombing run. Not only were they facing heavy and intense anti-aircraft defenses, they're mixing in low-altitude bombing. Well, let me tell you where you don't want to be in World War II. Definitely doing low-altitude bombing, or just bombing, period. Quite spicy. Out of this, they were able to disrupt the oil production somewhat, but they took heavy losses. Out of the 178 bombers, 53 were lost, and approximately 660 airmen were either killed, captured, or reported missing. Out of Operation Tidal Wave, 5 Medals of Honor would be awarded, 56 Distinguished Flying Crosses, and a whole host of other awards. Operation Tidal Wave would be dubbed one of the bloodiest and most heroic missions of all time, according to the United States Air Force's Air War College there in Maxwell Air Force Base. Out of this, the Army Air Corps never attempt another low-level bombing raid against the Germans. So there you have it. All right, jumping into the flight line. So in 2023, the House and Senate Armed Services Committee established a commission on the National Defense Strategy. They charged them with reviewing and analyzing the 22 National Defense Strategy and reporting back. Well, obviously it took a little bit of time, but the report is out. And let's just say it's not great. So let's jump into a couple of the highlights of this, because, you know, I want to give you something. So if you got the newsletter, there's links into the full report, which we won't go into, but I'll hit the bullet points that the commission found. So 1, the United States faces the most challenging global environment with the most severe ramifications since the end of the Cold War. The trends are getting worse, not better. 2, the DoD cannot and should not provide the national defense by itself. It calls for integrated deterrence. This is not reflected in practice today. I guess what you should expect. It truly all elements of national power approach must be used, and it's required to be coordinated to leverage the resources of the DoD, the rest of the executive branch, private sector, civilian society, and U.S. allies and partners. Shocking. We need to work as a team. We need to leverage all our capabilities, but I can only imagine the amount of red tape and bureaucracy that exists between all the organizations just from what I see on a daily basis. let alone if you're talking about at this level. Fundamental shifts and threats in technology require fundamental change in how the DoD functions. DoD is operating at the speed of bureaucracy. That one should be underlined, bold, and italicized. When the threat is approaching wartime urgency, the National Defense Strategy force sizing construct is inadequate for today's needs and tomorrow's challenges. We propose a multi-theater force construct with the joint force in conjunction with U.S. allies and partners, sized to defend the homeland and tackle simultaneous threats in Indo-PACOM, Europe, and the Middle East. U.S. industrial production is grossly inadequate to provide the equipment, technology, and munitions needed today, let alone given the demands of a great power conflict. The DoD workforce, an all-volunteer force, provides an unmatched advantage. However, recruiting failures have shrunk the force and raised serious questions about the all-volunteer force in peacetime, let alone in major combat. The civilian workforce at the DoD and in the private sector also face critical shortfalls. The joint force is at the breaking point of maintaining readiness today. Adding more burden without adding resources to rebuild readiness will cause it to break. I think you probably could factor in Israel and Ukraine being surprises there, more or less, just more taskings. The United States must spend more effectively and more efficiently to build the future force, not perpetuate the existing one. Additional resources will be needed. Congress should pass a supplemental appropriation bill to begin a multi-year investment in the national security innovation and industrial base. Well, that paints a really rosy picture, but if you've been paying attention to things happening in the world, things we've talked about on this podcast, as well as I'm sure a lot of other podcasts and news sources, it's all saying the same thing. We've been at war for 20 plus years. We have near peer threats that have strengthened over the years that have only focused on improving their technology, their strength, their size, and arguably probably singularly focused combat operations or focused strategic interest that compete with ours, and we're trying to do it all. So, yeah, not great. All right. Israel, they conducted a strike deep into Tehran. I wonder what aircraft did this across multiple nations and deep into an integrated air defense network without being seen or detected. But, interesting stuff. So a top Hezbollah leader, this is who was struck. He is worth over $4 billion, been living in exile since 2019 from Gaza. I mean, why shouldn't I not try to pronounce his name since it's one of those things I can't do anyways, but Ismail Haney, I don't know how to pronounce his name, the standard operating procedure for me, but nonetheless, this dude was on the U.S. list for terrorists, obviously worth a lot of money, living in exile. Well, he decides to go visit Hezbollah's friend, Iran, on July 30th and attended the swearing of Iran's new president. Remember, their last president died in a helicopter crash not too long ago. So, that evening, an unknown explosion occurred, and he's no longer with us. So, there you go. All right. Talking about a while, but it's finally happened. Ukraine has its first F-16s. This is according to a Ukrainian lawmaker speaking on the condition of anonymity, said that a small number of F-16s have arrived in the country. It's interesting, the article talks about how, you know, F-16's primary mission is the suppression of enemy air defenses. You know, that's from a former life what I used to do. Very curious about these F-16s and their capabilities. It's a very specific mission set. Without getting into the nitty-gritty, they're going to have their hands full with the threats that are out there and available in and around that region. So, again, best of luck to them. A lot of challenges. And again, I think people have said it. I know I've said it. The F-16 is not going to be the turning point for Ukraine in having it. At best, it's going to be a morale boost, in my humble opinion. All right, the U.S. carried out a defensive strike in Iran. This is the first strike, in Iraq. Whoops, Iran would have been a whole different story, and this thing really would have gotten spicy. But they did it in Iraq. This was just south of Baghdad. This is the first strike that the U.S. has conducted in Iraq since February. Remember, you know, they were doing some retaliatory strikes, or we were doing some retaliatory strikes for all the stuff Iran was slinging at our bases there, or Iran-backed militias, whatever you want to call it. But they hit a bunch of combatants that were attempting to launch a one-way attack uncrewed aerial systems, a OWA-UAS. That's the first time I've seen that acronym, so we're just racking them up there. But I imagine that's just going to continue. But talk about how warfare has just changed in the last 9 months with all these drones, and we're only going to see it continue to change. More bad news for the KC-46. So Boeing does have a new CEO. I'm not going to talk about that today, but they finally put someone new at the helm. But the KC-46 added a new Category 1 deficiency. Didn't know what a Category 1 deficiency was, so I had to look it up, and I put it in the newsletter there for you. But if you don't have it, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. This is a deficiency that can result in death, aircraft loss or damage, prevents the aircraft from performing primary or secondary missions, or critically restricts the operator from their primary duty. So needless to say, Category 1 deficiency is not good, and the KC-46 has had a whole host of them, and they added one this week. And that's vibrations from the fuel pumps. I don't know what fuel pumps these are. Every big plane has numerous fuel pumps. It sounds like it's somewhere tied to the engine or close to it, but it's damaging the air ducts. So the quick fix for this one is just to cycle the pumps off and then back on. Center fuel pump, I don't know. So it's going to require a redesign for the long-term fix. This just adds on to the $7 billion that Boeing has racked up in additional fees and charges trying to get the KC-46 out the door. I know I bash the KC-46 day in and day out because it's mind-boggling that we've taken a 767 that's been around for decades and the KC or the 76 tanker variant has existed. I know there are differences between the KC-46 and the civilian tankers that are out there. But I mean, come on. Like, I don't know. I couldn't build it, so I give you that. But are we really like 2 decades and this far behind? Just mind-numbing. Of note, I did just interview General Minahan, who's the Air Mobility Commander. That episode will be coming out in a couple weeks. We do talk about the KC-46's around the world flight, some of the capabilities and why they did that. But, you know, it's been brought up, like the A-10 cannot be refueled by the KC-46. He does highlight that if we had to go to war tomorrow, it has been tested and proven that it can be done and it would be signed off. So stay tuned for that. But, man, the KC-46 just hits keep on coming there for Boeing. All right, jumping over to some drama. U.S. Army has stopped paying a soldier who's in prison in Russia. This is Army Staff Sergeant Gordon Black. So the Russians have convicted him of theft and threatening murder. But before he got to this point, we got to peel back the onion a little bit and say, well, what did old Sergeant Black do that was so bad? Well, one, he was on leave. He had met a Russian woman at some point while stationed in South Korea, and he wanted to follow her back to Vladivostok. I'll probably butcher that a little bit, but you know, that was pretty close. So what did he do? He traveled to Russia. Well, turns out that's not allowed by the Department of Defense, Army, unless you got, you know, approval and a need to be there, which following your mistress back to Russia probably does not meet that criteria. Also kind of a challenge to get to Russia these days. So how did he get there? Well, he flew through China. Again, this one, whoops, that one's kind of against the rules as well. So he now has been stopped being paid by the U.S. Army. Shocking. But I imagine once he gets released, if he gets released, he'll face charges or some kind of disciplinary action on the Army's behalf. But, you know, he now has fallen into the hands of the Russians and now is a potential pawn. I mean, he is going to be a pawn in the geopolitical strategic game plan. So who knows what we'll have to give up to get him back. Yay. All right, back to Israel. They eliminated a top Hezbollah leader in Beirut as well this week. So real busy. This one, they struck and killed, again, why not, Fuad Shuruk in a precision airstrike. He was a designated terrorist by the United States as well. He had a $5 million bounty on his head. The Wagner Group, a mix of 80 Wagner Group mercenaries and Malian personnel are dead after they faced an ambush in Mali's northern territory up by Algeria. So, Wagner Group all over the place there still. North Korean hacker number two, this is the one that we didn't talk about last week, but yeah, there's a lot of them. A grand jury in Kansas has indicted Rim Yong-hook. Okay, probably butchered that one as well. For hacking a U.S. healthcare provider, they had a ransomware holding, they won $100,000 in a Bitcoin purse so that they can buy more stuff and hack more things. The U.S. is offering a $10 million bounty on his head as well. So, North Korea getting after it, standard. B-52 made a stop by Iraq and Syria just to say hello. A B-52 crew launched out of Romania. They were part of there as an exercise. They flew a 32-hour mission across the Middle East, touching multiple countries, then all the way back to Louisiana. I put in the newsletter the tail number because I think this is kind of wild. Tail number 60-0054. That's right. That one rolled off the assembly line in 1960. So we back up to the National Defense Strategy. Remember, this guy is part of it, part of our nuclear triad there. So we got a lot of old stuff. But this B-52, they overflew numerous countries in the Middle East. They rejoined with A-10s. They rejoined with Qatari F-15 QAs. And of course, their sister or brother, the old KC-135, that's probably just as old, if not older there. All right, NGAD. This one's kind of getting hard to keep up with. Next Generation Air Dominance Fighter Program. Keep talking about this here and there, but that one officially took a knee this week. Make sure it's on, and I quote, the right course, end quote, from Secretary of the Air Force Frank Kendall. He said that on July 30th. He said, we are still going to do a sixth generation crewed aircraft. So TBD, what happens with that? Remember, we wanted to retire a bunch of F-22s, I think about 30 of them that haven't been upgraded since just after 2011, 2012 timeframe. And again, that's cost-saving measures to fund NGAD, the Next Generation Air Dominance Fighter. A lot of things going on. So make sure you're getting the newsletter. You can click the link down below. Or you can go to the afterburnpodcast.com, click the newsletter, sign up, and you get these little weekly nuggets there. So hope everyone is doing well, and we'll catch you next time.
Your online security has never been more important. Recently, hackers stole over 2.9 billion records from National Public Data. You might be asking yourself, what's National Public Data? Well, that's the service that private investigators, companies, and staffing services all use to do background checks. This information is now in the hands of hackers who say they're going to give away this information for free. I use a company called Aura to make sure that whenever my data pops up in places I don't want, I get notified immediately. They also go right to work trying to remove your information from data brokers, as well as they offer a whole host of other tools. And should the worst case happen, they offer up to $5 million in identity theft protection insurance. Protect yourself and your family today with Aura. You can use the link down below and get a 14-day free trial, and this will be enough time for Aura to go out there, scan the web, and see what information is out there that you really don't want. You can go to aura.com/afterburn or click the link down below in the description again to get 14 days free.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.